Good morning, and welcome to the Martin Seminars Network. I'm Bob Martin, and today we'll be discussing communicating for your success and survival with professional speaker, trainer, and consultant Larry Pickett. Larry is the president of LM Pickett Associates, a company that offers training, speeches, and consulting on public and media relations, crisis management, and consumer communications. His clients have included Shell Oil, U.S. Airways, Texaco, Asiana Airlines, Southern California Gas Company, the California High-Speed Rail Authority, as well as organizations in healthcare, manufacturing, and franchising. He has a master's degree in behavioral science, a bachelor's degree in broadcast journalism, and teaches at the University of Phoenix. Larry is an accredited member of the Public Relations Society of America and a member of the American Society for Training and Development. Welcome to the program, Larry.
Thank you, Bob. I'm glad to be here.
Hey, tell me from your experience, what causes most companies to call you for your expertise?
Most organizations that I work with have a realization that as they do their business, that they need to look at the communications aspects of it. The success of any organization is really twofold: operational success and communication success, and the combination will working together will help them do that.
How do you work together? Some with working those two aspects together.
Well, first of all, it's the realization that when you're dealing with basic customer relations or working with the various publics that a company needs to reach, that these target audiences are looking at two things: performance, basic performance, whether you're providing a product or a service, and then the added to that would be the need for an organization to communicate that performance, how well they're doing in that area to reach those needs.
Yeah. Well, from your experience, what kinds of publics are important?
A whole variety. It really depends on the nature of the organization, but some basic publics that we're talking about are certainly everyone has a customer of some kind. And in marketing environment, communication environment, we're more and more customer focused. Then, of course, helping to make an organization run are the employees, sometimes an overlooked group, and we do a lot of work with helping organizations reach that target audience. Unions, shareholders, if it's a publicly owned company, boards of directors, the news media, more and more is taking an interest in what organizations are doing. If they're publicly owned, again, in addition to shareholders, financial analysts, companies need to be aware of their competition as a public. The neighbors around an organization, community leaders, politicians, a whole variety of potential publics that may have a bearing on that organization's success.
Well, from your experience with all these different publics, what publics tend to be the most important?
I believe that you're looking at customers and employees as being your primary target audiences. As I said before, everyone is more and more customer-focused. These are the folks that buy the product or service. And if they don't buy your product or service, you don't exist. And certainly the employees who are on the front lines with those customers who make that product or sell that product and have a very important role in the success of that venture.
Wow. Well, we know that many organizations kind of deal with customer service training, but very rarely do we deal with those internal publics, for example, the employees that you mentioned. And a lot of people listen to this program, the HR managers and training managers. What are some of the things that they can do, or what should they be aware of as they deal with internal publics?
I think that some of the things that that can be done in terms of awareness of employee needs, a company is going to do communications audits of employee desires for information. One of the key factors, as I work with organizations, involves manager training in the areas of communications. Because in talking with employees, they turn to their managers as a primary source of information. Hopefully, they will have the information employees need, but also it's important for them to have some basic skills in understanding employees, how to work with them, how to help them reach their own individual objectives as employees. And then on top of that, of course, you add in all of the other company communications tools that can help managers, whether it's intranet, newsletters, video, voicemail, a variety of tools that can be used to help that communications process.
Hmm. Tell me about some of the challenges that the managers have in dealing with their employees about their communication skills.
Well, I think, first of all, being aware of the need. Managers, of course, have their own responsibilities, whatever department they're in, to get a job done, to provide that product or service. But I think the basic issue is a realization on their part that they need to provide a positive, supportive working environment for the employees in that department who help them get that job done. So I think it's basically an awareness by managers and a realization of the skills that they may need to deal with employees on a one-on-one basis.
What about those companies or those managers that don't get that kind of training or instruction? What kind of end result do they end up with?
There can be many negative results. If a positive employee environment is critical to successfully marketing a product or service, then organizations that fail to do that can affect the ultimate outcome. And over time, it can have a very detrimental effect on the success of that organization.
How does the company tell that something's wrong with the way their managers are communicating?
Certainly performance by employees. They're dealing with employees every day and judging how well those employees are doing the job. Some organizations do periodic employee attitude surveys, which can be very helpful in determining what employees feel about the organization, about the products, about how they're being treated as individuals, whether the company and the employees are working together to achieve mutual objectives, which again is critically important. So I think it's a combination of some kind of internal surveys that can be implemented, and manager awareness of performance and just in their day-to-day discussions. Some managers are obviously better at it than others in meeting with their employees. In talking with employee groups, one of the most important tools that they believe is important are meetings, departmental meetings, periodic meetings, emphasizing an open-door policy with that manager who sits down with them either as a group or on a one-on-one basis to find out how they feel about things.
Wow. You mentioned earlier about communication audit. What's that like? What's that process?
Well, it serves many, many forms, but I've seen surveys where perhaps the HR department may take the lead on something like this and work with the individual supervisors and managers where employees can fill out written surveys. Sometimes you'll have a sit-down survey, one-on-one with employees, telephone surveys, calling employees, explaining what the program is all about, and compilating all of the data to give the organization a feel for just how employee attitudes are at that particular point.
Are the employees normally pretty candid with HR personnel when they do that, or...?
Well, I think that so much of it is related to the history of the organization. If you have a good communications environment within an organization, probably the employees may be more open in terms of expressing their opinions. And that may be why they may, and not necessarily with their supervisors, but perhaps with a written survey or anonymous survey, they may be more candid. So I think a lot depends on the communications environment as to how open employees will be in expressing, and certainly negative comments about how the company is doing.
Yeah. How about in a less hospitable environment? Do they normally go to outside resources for that, or?
I have seen that done a fair amount, where a company realizes that it is having some morale problems, and that in order to get the best data that they can act on, there are firms out that they can bring in to do these kinds of surveys and give them the information they need.
What are some of the challenges that companies face that causes them to start to look at the way they communicate internally? Is it primarily through like downsizing or economy, or what causes them to really start to look within?
Well, that's a good question, because with the current economy, there's a lot of that kind of thing going on in terms of downsizing, right-sizing, whatever it's called, and they've been called many things, but certainly in that kind of an environment, even employees who will survive some of these waves of downsizing are certainly, even if they survive it, they're certainly concerned about whether there may be a new wave, and who knows what their situation is going to be. So it's, and as I said earlier, many times you can detect performance in attitudes on a day-to-day basis, which can give you some indication that you need to take some action to deal with those.
What are some of those actions that you would take when you come across those types of environments?
Well, I think that based on what data you get from your surveys or the meetings, the one-on-one interviews, to say, well, okay, well, what do we need to do? And if it involves greater communications with employees, either by the manager or through more formalized traditional mechanisms, then you can take a look at those and say, okay, how, if these will work, and part of your survey may be to ask employees, well, how would you like to get information? And looking at these different tools, to how can we make these more effective in getting the information out to the employees that they want and need?
So it's all situationally based.
Oh yes, yeah. There's no cookie cutter approach. There's some common problems that you'll come across in terms, particularly in the area of manager breakdowns in communications. That can be a very common problem, but you need to look at the individual company's needs and the appropriate tools to reach those needs.
Let's take a break. I'm Bob Martin with our guest today, Larry Pickett. And you're listening to the Martin Seminars Network. Are you looking for ways to boost your career and get the quality information and training it takes to stand out in today's fast-paced world? At Martin Seminars, we take the goals of motivated people from around the world and provide the professional development tools to make those dreams a reality. Martin Seminars offers programs that are tailored to fit your specific needs. We are committed to your success as a learner and a professional. Martin Seminars programs are structured to take your new skills beyond the training room and into practice. Whether you're interested in time management, communication skills, teamwork, or leadership, or want to create a future for yourself in supervision or management, Martin Seminars has a program designed to launch you into fulfilling your potential. Our programs place an emphasis on business knowledge and are technology enriched to give you an edge in today's marketplace. Martin Seminars is committed to deliver training that is better, faster, and a higher return on your investment with success. Martin Seminars facilitators are carefully selected for their abilities to inspire as well as teach. They come from diverse backgrounds and combine business knowledge with current technical skills to provide examples your people need in today's marketplace. Martin Seminars places a strong emphasis on preparation and follow-up, preparing you for success in your field. From on-site, web, and computer-based workshops to self-instruction tools, books, tapes, and CDs, we are committed to guiding you through the maze of personal and professional development possibilities. If you are already a professional with time commitments that don't allow you to attend traditional training, you can get the information you need in many of Martin Seminars' programs entirely online or at your own pace. Now is the time to fulfill your dreams for the future and get your career on the rewarding track with information from Martin Seminars. Let us give you the tools you need to compete and excel in the ever-changing marketplace. In today's workplace, information is vital to your success. Take a bold step into your future and contact us at www.martinseminars.net. That's www.martinseminars.net today. Welcome back. You're listening to the Martin Seminars Network. I'm Bob Martin with today's guest, Larry Pickett. Hey, Larry, you'd mentioned earlier that some managers are excellent communicators or good communicators and some are not so good. The same can probably be said for companies. Some companies are excellent in the way they handle their communications and some are not so good. And for those people that are listening that may be suspecting, maybe I'm not in the best type of environment, maybe there's something I can do. How can they find out if their situation could be improved in some way?
Well, I believe that, first of all, it's their own personal experience. If there's a certain frustration that's there, if they have some particular work-related needs or information needs that they personally believe are not being met, then that will be one of the key indicators. And certainly in this world that we're in, they probably have friends in other companies, other organizations that they can talk to about how things are handled in that organization. Now, too often people who will be in an organization and they may think, well, this is as good as it gets, but picking up information. But that, as I say, that frustration level on a personal basis, or the information they get from their reading, from talking with friends, from being aware of management approaches, they may realize that something better could happen.
Okay, so somebody could, they could actually get help for this environment. They can improve it in some way.
That's right.
All right. For example, we mentioned a little bit earlier, too, about communications being situationally based, that sometimes a layoff will cause people to really look at their internal communications. Do companies tend to wait until an event happens before they really look at that? They do the communication audit? Or do some companies look ahead? What tends to be the norm?
More and more companies, I believe, are looking ahead, certainly if they're going to have to make some significant operational changes. Many of them will sit down and say, okay, we're going to have to make this change in 6 months or 12 months from now, and realizing the importance of employee buy-in to what's going to happen, we'll put together some programs that will facilitate that buy-in and help employees understand why these actions are necessary. I've seen companies that have done this successfully. State Farm in California was doing some reorganizations of their offices, and talking with some of the employees, they were very appreciative of the approach that that company took in terms of meeting with employees ahead of time to not only to explain what decisions had already been made, but they were actually asking their advice on the directions that the company should take. And so it was a two-way process that went on, and that which was appreciated by the employees, who felt that they did actually, the company did care about their attitudes and opinions and recommendations, and felt that those attitudes and opinions and recommendations were part of that decision-making process.
Okay, so from what it sounds like, it's okay if it's based on an event that's going to happen, as long as it's planned ahead, right? As long as they lead into and start to build those communication pathways before that event actually hits.
Well, you're talking at two levels. One, if there is an event, a significant operational activity that's going to take place. But I would hope that without even those significant events, that the success of your organization depends on the day-to-day performance of all aspects of the organization, and that communications should be an integral part of that process.
Let's take a look about some of the solutions that you've mentioned before, at least with me privately. What are some of your key recommendations when you work with a client?
I think to be aware that the success of an organization involves two aspects, two significant aspects of both performance and communications, doing the right thing as far as your customers and employees, and then communicating effectively about those actions that you've taken. In a lot of the public relations work that I do, there are many definitions of public relations, but the simplest that I've come across is related to what I was just saying, performance by an organization as it relates to the key publics that we've talked about, and communicating effectively that you've done the right thing.
Okay, so that would be part of your initial recommendation working, is focusing on those key publics and communicating the right thing?
Yes, every organization has targeted publics, those we went through, customers, employees, and the others, that will have a bearing on their success. And in some cases, if a crisis situation, even their survival. And being aware of these publics, their particular needs, information needs, as well as product or service needs, the combination of these will be extremely important for the success of that organization.
Hmm. So how can employees be more effective communicators within the company and with external groups?
I think it will depend a lot on the environment within the organization. If you have a good relationship between all the various departments, earlier we talked about a very general statement about organizational performance, whatever the product or service is. But in order to accomplish that, you have to have a good integrated working relationship among all the departments, whether it's marketing, public relations, operations, HR, whatever it may be, all working together to accomplish that business goal. And the employees, if they're part of that type of environment where communications is taking place, mutual support, then there's a greater chance that they can play a major role in getting that done.
For companies that effectively communicate with their employees, what are some of their strategies?
Training their key personnel from the top on down, for one thing, that the communications is an important part of their job. It's not just getting whatever the department function accomplished is, but it's that communicating with the employees is an extremely important part of the business. And they can be supported by, as I said earlier, a variety of tools that can get information out to the employees, whether it's intranet, newsletters, video, variety of tools that can be used to supplement the one-on-one communications that, to me, is at the heart of it.
You really touched on a real tough task there as well. Many managers are required or responsible for completing their own task. At the same time, they're supposed to manage many others that are completing tasks. And often we hear from them in the workplace, I can get so much more done if I didn't have to talk to all these employees. Right? What were some strategies that you give to them, for example? How do they carve out time, or how do they stay cognizant on a daily basis? You know, I need to focus that managing others is part of my job.
Well, hopefully you can create an awareness on their part that communicating with employees about that employee's needs, personal needs, and job-related needs is critical to getting that job done. That unless they buy into what the department is out to accomplish, and that department ultimately supports the basic general business objectives of the organization, unless that employee is a productive, happy, supportive employee, then your departmental functions are going to be less successful than they could be.
Yeah, we certainly know that there's definitely differences within the workplace. Some employees need very little communication, and others may need a great deal. Right? And recognizing that may be part of their key for success?
Well, I think, yes. One of the lessons for managers is to realize that if you're looking at a whole variety of employees, and again, they'll have different needs. Personal needs, communications needs, and you'll and part of your job, in my view, as a manager, is having that flexibility to know what those needs are and the best way to relate to those on an individual basis.
We talked a little bit about recognizing your internal audience and communicating with them, but what about audiences in general? For example, when you deal with crisis or the media, how do you recognize your audience and deliver your message in a way that really fits that particular group?
You start out with the basic understanding of who these key audiences are, as to and in many ways prioritizing them, whether it's customers, employees, to determine who may have the most significant impact on your operation and the most importance. Part of that process in terms of communications is to find out where these people get their information. Do they focus a lot on television or newspapers or radio or the internet? And with that kind of information in hand and your desire to reach these folks, you can look at the communications tools that will be the most effective for you to reach them successfully.
Okay. As you work with companies on preserving or enhancing their reputations, what are some of the things that you focus on in dealing with them?
In terms of these key publics, again, in terms of reputation management, you're probably looking at a couple of major steps. One is anticipating the kinds of situations that could have a negative impact on your reputation. In terms of such things as crisis management, it's essentially going down, looking at your organization, and attempting to, with your key people, to anticipate the kinds of emergencies or crises that of various degrees that could impact your operation, whether they might involve your vehicles or computer problems or customer unrest or legislation and regulation that could have a negative impact on your organization, lawsuits, activists in the community, they might be upset with your organization for one reason or another. And once you establish that kind of a list of possible situations you could face, then sitting down again with those key people and put together a plan of response.
The reason why I ask that is because I know in many cases, you know, the audience that tends to listen to this are HR professionals and training development professionals. And if they don't have a media relations department within the company, sometimes they're the one that becomes responsible for communicating that. How do HR professionals fit into the employee communication process?
Very integrally. They, if there is no public affairs, public relations function, many times organizations will turn to HR because of the their responsibilities and their widespread involvement with an organization, quite often more widespread than a lot of other departments within within a business organization. So it's a matter of determining what your communications needs are with the external audiences and giving someone, whether it's HR or other some other function, marketing or some other function within your organization, the responsibility to do two things. And this type of function involves really two aspects: liaison with the external community to let management know what the community thinks about these and these publics think about your organization, and also liaison to those external audiences to get information that they both want to need about your organization.
Since a lot of those professionals probably don't have the background that you have as far as dealing with the media, how do the news media fit into the process for managing that reputation?
The news media can serve two roles as far as an organization. In my view, the organization, if it's going to work with the news media, they're not trying to get information ultimately to the news media, but to the audiences that read that newspaper, watch that television program, or listen to the radio. So the news media can be used as a tool to get information out, and you can either respond to the media from on a reactive basis or take a very proactive role working with the, as you've been targeting the publics, you also target the media that are going to be the most important to your organization.
Can you give me some ideas or give our audience some ideas, for example, how an HR professional would do that? Because often they wouldn't know, you know, where do they begin the contact? You know, where are some concrete steps they might go through?
For one thing, putting together a list of the news media that would be of importance to them, say geographically or functionally in terms of the company. You may have trade publications, trade press that would be of importance. Geographically, major daily newspapers, possibly weekly newspapers, radio stations with a news function. And again, starting out with a basic list of the media that might be of importance to that organization wherever it operates, then taking an aggressive role to meet the key editors and writers who would be doing stories on your organization to establish relationships. You may or may not have any information at that point, but like so many, as what we're talking about here, so much of what we're talking about here are relationships internally or externally, and certainly with the news media, successful news media relations are built on positive relationships.
Is it usually an adversarial approach between the media and the companies?
Not necessarily. And again, it gets us back to the relationship. If you are your HR person or whoever has a responsibility is perceived to be a credible source of information about the organization, who is perceived to be someone who works with the media to help them do their job, because the thing about the news media with 24-hour news and all, they've got to fill space, they've got to fill time, and if you take a positive, proactive role to help them do that, then quite often they will turn to you for information, which is what you're trying to get out anyway.
We know, for example, certain companies, people have that as part of their job description. You're a marketing professional or your media relations professional. But for these HR professionals and training development people that may not see as part of their job description, often what happens is a crisis hits and now all of a sudden they're in charge of communicating about that crisis. What are some ways that they could become more proactive about that, to view that as being part of their job responsibility before a crisis hits?
That would be part of a crisis management approach that an organization would take. Earlier I talked about anticipating the kinds of situations that you might encounter as a company. And once you've laid out the through issues management efforts, what you could face, you're putting together a crisis response plan, and within that plan are laid out the responsibilities you hope that it's laid out. Who does what, when, where, how, and why if a situation occurs. If an HR person is assigned the communications responsibilities, and if in that kind of a situation, they may wind up with both internal and external communications responsibilities, but they will know that if something were to occur, they would have to take the initiative. And of course, if they require more training in that area, how to deal with the news media, to get a comfort level with the news media, how they operate, there are opportunities there as well.
How can employees help in general with their news media relationships?
Beyond the role that someone may have, a formal role someone may have in the organization to handle the media, the employees are, like all people living in an area, are part of a community. And they read the newspapers, watch the television programs, listen to the radio, and sometimes are approached by media that are interested in what may be going on at the company. Hopefully, if you've had a very positive communications relationship within the company, employees will have, and depending on what's happening at the organization, employees will have a positive attitude and approach to that company, and in turn will respond to media questions with that frame of mind.
You know, it strikes me as that'd be a recipe for disaster, because often we just assume that the employee should know, don't talk to the press unless you talk to us first. But then when an incident hits and they happen to hit the employee first, employee says something that may be inadvertent, and then the company has to do damage control. What can companies do to make sure that the employees are aware of hand, the types of things that might be acceptable within that environment?
I've seen organizations who they've laid down probably two levels on that. But some have, as you indicated, tell employees that nobody talks to the press other than the public affairs department or HR or marketing, whoever has a responsibility. And quite often, and certainly in a crisis situation, that is emphasized and probably is a good policy in terms of making sure that accurate information is getting out to the media in those kinds of situations. But the reality is that quite often employees within a company will be approached by the media informally. They may know somebody at a local newspaper who knows them and may say, give them a call and ask what's going on. On a routine basis, I think being two levels, either provide information, general information, or refer the media to the right department that can make sure they get the right information.
It seems like that kind of skills training, just as a general protocol for all the employees, is a good way to do damage control before damage happens.
Well, knowing the skills of how to work with the media can be a challenge. The idea that understanding how the media operate, and from that gaining a comfort level in dealing with the media so that it's not perceived strictly as an adversarial relationship. Because my experience with the media is that in most cases it's not adversarial. They're just trying. They've got a job to do like we have jobs to do. They're just trying to accomplish their role as journalists. And so the adversarial relationship doesn't necessarily have to be there. But understanding how the media operate is one of the key steps in that working relationship and how you can help them do their job.
For those companies that do manage their communications effectively, both internally and with the public at large and with the media, what are some of their experiences? What's life like for a company that really handles this well?
I believe that a company that integrates positive communications within that environment that they're working in, that it has an incredible facilitation of performance among the employees and meeting the needs of their customers. If you're providing an environment where you can accomplish those two major goals and meeting the needs of these other publics that we've talked about, you can point to what I would consider to be a successful company.
Do you have any success stories for companies that have handled their communications extremely well?
Well, certainly in a crisis situation puts incredible pressure on a company to communicate effectively. And there have been over the years some success stories. Certainly one of the classic cases both in public affairs and also business would be Johnson & Johnson handling the Tylenol case back in the 70s. A case involving some fatalities recall and effective communications to explain how the company was responding. And one of the key aspects of this kind of communications response is to come across as a company that cares about the impact of the situation and emphasize that you are either in control or you are working to control the situation, which is part of both performance and communications. And there are many other cases of tragic situations involving companies where they responded incredibly effectively with and achieved those goals that they did care about the people who were involved. Taco Bell had a shooting in Florida. Starbucks had a problem in Washington, D.C. And the involvement of their top management and managers at several levels to create that impression that they did care about the people, the impact of that situation did benefit them incredibly.
Wow. Hey, Larry, you mentioned a little bit earlier that there's so much to learn, and I'm sorry that we only have about a half hour that you could talk. Where are some places that people can go if they wanted more information, if they want to build those skills so that they're more promotable?
Well, as you mentioned at the beginning of the program, Bob, my company focuses on communications with business organizations and trade associations at different levels. And we folks that might be interested in getting more information about some of those services can reach me at either my phone number, 661-587-8173. My email is larry@lmpickett.com, and the website is www.lmpickett.com. And there's a great deal more information about the various services that are available that they could get that information.
I'll make sure that we have a link to your website up at our site as well. But can you give that phone number one more time? Because it went by kind of quick for those people who are scrambling for pens.
Okay, it's area code 661-587-8173.
Great. And you're open to people contacting you directly if they have questions in general?
Very definitely.
Oh, great. Hey, I want to thank you for being on the program today, Larry. You're listening to Bob Martin with Larry Pickett, and this is the Martin Seminars Network.